File 12.
Audiobookforfree.com would like publishers, authors, and literary agents to contribute texts of their books. We will record audiobooks based on those texts. We will generate audio advertising income. We will share this income with all contributors.
Technique number 27. Love her like she needs to be loved. Hunters, to capture your quarry's heart, it's not enough just to make her feel loved. Figure how she needs to be loved. To what degree? For what qualities? Then make her feel loved in precisely the way she wants to be loved. It will help you beat out men who are stronger, handsomer, richer, and brighter than you. Love and being loved is that important to a woman. And now we come to unturning a final stone. Never let it be said that we left one pebble unturned in our exploration of how to make anyone fall in love with you. No thorough investigation would be complete without examining another passage to our quarry's heart, the nasal passage, or pheromones. What? Pheromones? Chemical body excretions, body odors. There has been much talk in recent years of pheromones. In certain bugs and animals, pheromones have proven to be potent stuff indeed. Some bugs just gotta have it when they get an olfactory jolt. And when a female pig gets a whiff of pheromones emanating from a sweaty male pig, she spreads her nostrils, turns her rump up toward him, and oinks seductively. In human animals, sweat, foot odor, and vaginal fluids, the odors that Americans gratefully pay deodorant companies to wipe out, would count as pheromones. Do they work? Do male body odors have the same effect on human females and vice versa? Well, certain humans do respond to body odors. Many men like the scent of a woman's underarms. Napoleon reportedly sent a letter to his beloved Josephine imploring her, "I will be arriving in Paris tomorrow. Don't wash." But today, the average wife would be more apt to send her pit-sniffing husband to a sex therapist. Scientists do what scientists do when they're unsure of something. They conduct experiments, which they did, on pheromones. But when their human research subjects lay flat on their backs, flaring their nostrils for science, nothing happened. Women who sniffed armpit pads that men had worn for several days did experience a slight change in their menstrual cycles, but they certainly reported no feelings of sexual attraction. I've conducted a little first-hand research in this area, but my own unscientific observation is that if you dab some pheromones behind each ear, you may indeed find some horny female bugs flying around your head. But no evidence to date proves to me that pheromones cause the same reactions in humans. The sense of smell, however, is a powerful attraction. And who knows? There's a whiff of evidence that they're onto something. At least enough to warrant one more technique. Technique 28. Who knows? N-O-S-E. Don't expect him or her to fall nose over heels in love with you just because of your scent. However, since pheromones play an important role in animal erotica, cover your bets. Give your relationship an olfactory boost by letting your quarry choose your perfume or aftershave for you. Let us now surface from the underground terrain of hidden fantasies and scientific substances to Main Street, Every Town, USA. Here's a problem that all men and women face when they're with their main squeeze. See if this has ever happened to you. A couple, Dick and Jane, that's you and your significant other, are happily strolling hand in hand along the sidewalk together. A gorgeous woman comes slinking towards them from the opposite direction. Rats, thinks Jane. I just bet Dick is going to look at her. He wouldn't dare. Va-va-va-voom, Dick thinks. What a dish. Whoops, I better not let Jane catch me looking at her. Well, I'll just keep my head straight ahead and strike when the iron is hot. I'll give my eyes a quickie as soon as she passes close to us. Dick and Jane keep walking, nonchalantly oblivious, of course, to the approaching dish. Dick smiles at Jane and gives her hand a little squeeze for reassurance. Jane smiles contentedly. The dish gets closer and closer. This is Dick's window of opportunity. It's now or never. He lets his eyeball swivel her way for a split second. Did he get away with it? Not in a pig's eye. As far as Jane is concerned, Dick's eyeballs might as well have been hanging out and dangling by the optic nerve as the dish passed. Jane goes into a funk, or a bout of insecurity, or hits Dick with an original line like, "What, you've never seen a woman before?" Bad scene. Technique number 29 for hunters. No looky dishy. Hunters, to win the heart of your quarry, don horse blinders whenever you're with her. Keep your eyeballs on a strict diet. In fact, pray that a dazzling dish walks your way, just so you can prove to your quarry how oblivious you are to other women, and how you only have eyes for your own fair lady. Huntresses, now here's a trick for you to win the heart of your male quarry when the inevitable happens. Let me put this in the form of a legal argument. Whereas, all men enjoy looking at other women, no matter how much they pretend they don't. And, whereas, men love it when a woman gives them permission to do something they've really wanted to do all along, but felt they shouldn't. Therefore, to win the heart of your quarry, help him do what he wants to do all along. Give him guilt-free snacks. Point out the good-looking cookies. Make him look at other women. Point them out in the street, at the party, on television. Search for them in crowds and make sure your quarry doesn't miss a single one. How much more affection Dick would have felt for Jane if she had said as she spotted the advancing dish, "Wow, Dick, you're gonna like what's coming." Our last technique. Technique number 30 for huntresses. Looky dishy. Huntresses, point out attractive women to your quarry to give him permission to look at them. Say things like, "Now there's a woman with style," or even, "Wow, is she pretty or what?" If he's smart, he'll probably protest and mumble something about how you're better looking, but then he'll have his guilt-free gander, and you will have a much happier goose. A final word. We enter this world from our mother's womb, alone. We live our lives in a solitude defined by the boundary of our mind and our body, and we exit this earthly existence, unaccompanied. If, in between, two solitudes can find togetherness and communion with another mortal, they find true happiness indeed. But true love is a luxury, not our preordained birthright, and like achieving any luxury, we must examine the most powerful methods to acquire it. So we look to the scientific research to tell us why people fall in love. And then we fashion our deeds to meet the needs of the mortal we want to make fall in love with us. But, as the British poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge wrote in a letter to one of his colleagues, "I believe the souls of 500 Sir Isaac Newtons would go into the making up of a Shakespeare or a Milton." So it is with love. Hearken the studies which tell us of the six elements we've explored, the impact of first impressions, the influence of similarity, the shrewd reckoning of equity, the narcissism of ego, the magnitude of gender differences, and the joy and the enrapturement of sex. Spike your arrow with this wisdom and the techniques that science has spawned, but as you take aim at your quarry, never forget the artistry, the creativity, the magic of love. A great performer studies techniques for a lifetime, but flooded by the warmth of the spotlight, the grueling years of practice fade into the past. Triumphant performers give themselves to the moment and let the magic unfold naturally. So it is with romance. Study and practice the techniques to make someone fall in love with you. But when the moment arrives, give yourself to it. Follow your instincts and obey your heart. I wish you love.